Atheist Nomads, episode 358. Yes, black lives really do matter.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads, and seriously, what the fuck?
Yeah, weren't we over this? Oh, wait, nope, never.
Man, I mean, we had an episode. Actually, it was, I tried taking a break. This would have been around episode 70 or so. Tried to take a week off from the podcast, yeah. And the Ferguson riots, annexation of Crimea, and trans bathroom ban in North Carolina all happened that week.
Yeah, you get pulled right back in with that.
And this week had a great interview recorded, done, and it's getting pushed back a week because, yeah, the stuff that would have been, you know, important things to talk about pale in comparison right now.
Yeah, yeah. So, in case you weren't paying attention, black people are dying.
The particular current round of protests started with on May 25, George Floyd allegedly attempted to buy a pack of cigarettes with a counterfeit $20 bill.
Oh no.
Which is a really petty crime.
Yeah.
He was stopped and was perceived by the cop, the arresting cops, to be resisting arrest. He was resisting going into the cop car and explained to them that he's claustrophobic and wasn't trying to resist arrest. He just didn't want to get in the back of the cop car because of the claustrophobia. At which point, and he calmed down once they stopped trying to push him into the car, sat him down, and then one of the officers kicked him onto his side.
Even though he was already down.
And as backup was arriving, yeah, backup for...
Somebody called him backup for this. That's hilarious.
An unarmed black man on a counterfeit $20 bill arrest. This is over $20.
Yep.
The officers then proceeded, once he was kicked down, to hold him down by kneeling on him, including one officer kneeling on his neck for more than 8 minutes, while he repeatedly called for his mama and told them that he couldn't breathe. He lost consciousness. One of the officers tried to find a pulse and couldn't. And they continued to kneel down on his, by this point, dead body.
So yeah, it still bothers me when it's described. And what freaks me out is the guy who was doing the kneeling on the neck has done this before. He killed another guy 10 years ago.
Oh,
so this is, yeah, this, and which is, it perfectly illustrates the problem. And this is what people are protesting.
Yep.
Is that people, cops, bad cops really just get waved through the system.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get prosecuted for murder. And if it's a black man involved, it doesn't really get any kind of, you know, the mm-hmm. person, the victim is blamed every yeah. time. There's no reason why any American should be afraid of being killed by the police. And white people take that for granted.
Right. Like, I think it's reasonable to assume that you might be killed by the police if you have a gun to somebody's head.
Yeah.
Short of that,
or, you know, taking over a government building with
yes
with automatic weapons.
Yes, that would be good grounds to be worried about being killed by the police. Heck, I would say you should be concerned about being killed by the police if you storm the state capitol steps with an assault rifle.
Yep.
Oh, but those are just people trying to protest for their rights.
Yep, those are just good people trying to get back to their normal lives of, ugh. So all over the country, we had protests, vigils, all the Black Lives Matter stuff has come back to the surface, and everybody's on edge because of the COVID stuff and this. Mm-hmm. It's just, this country's falling apart.
And Trump.
And Trump is making everything, well, of course he's making things worse, because this, at least even though it makes him look like a terrible racist dictator, distracts from the fact that over 100,000 people have died from...
Right.
During a pandemic that he's completely let get out of control. Not that I'm saying that's the main issue here. It's not. But he's really good at doing that ball in a cup routine.
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised if that whole stunt he did at the church was just another way of distracting people from what's going on.
Oh, no, that was totally to rile up his base.
Yeah.
What he's been doing this whole time is riling up his base.
It's all about his image. It's all about his ego. And he wants to be seen as a firm, authoritarian leader, in quotes, when really everybody else is just like, no, that's pretty much fascism. And right. Our country doesn't really mix well with fascism. Not when it's, you know, so blatant.
So specifically what happened with that event, and I'm sure you've probably all heard about it already, is... Donald Trump went onto the White House steps after being called a coward for hiding in the White House bunker because there were peaceful protesters outside the White House gates.
That's standard procedure. The Secret Service would have shuffled him down no matter what. Or he could have gone out and actually spoken to them.
Right. So he gets called a coward for going down to the bunker underground. And so he then goes out to the White House lawn and gives a speech about law and order, saying that he will be our law and order president, which racists love to use code words, and law and order means kill black people. That's all law and order really means.
Law and order. Yep, that's...
It's kill as many black people as you can find excuses for and throw the rest in prison for the rest of their lives. That's what law and order really means in America. And
if you don't think so, ask around.
Yeah. Talk to any black man. Or just any black person.
Person of color in general.
Yeah.
Anybody who's American Indian, Native American, Asian.
Hispanic.
Hispanic. Oh, my God. I mean, if it happens all the time. I had an online argument with somebody who, yeah, I know. Surprise. On Facebook, where I was saying that, you know, Idaho's pretty famous for the racial hatred. So don't be super patting yourself on the back because we had one peaceful protest. But what it was a response to a woman who was posting a sob story from a cop in Las Vegas because apparently one of their troops was shot and killed. And yes, that is sad.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes on to list all the different crimes against the police that have happened in the past 5 days. How many have been hit by cars or been attacked or have been, you know, hit or shot at or whatever. And I'm just like, why are you posting this? This isn't about them.
Right.
Because cops have reacted in two ways. They've either sided with the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
And stood with them in solidarity, or they grab the riot gear and they go and they start the fight.
Yeah.
I mean, the one in Seattle's pretty famous for their riots, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like a generational rite of passage.
This is the National Guard has been deployed to downtown Seattle. This is the first time that has happened to respond to a riot since 1999.
Yep. Yeah, it seems about generational. And I was watching the video of one of the lines, and it was people chanting, "We don't see a riot here. Why are you in riot gear?" to the cops who were, of course, and there was a barricade, and there were people in front had umbrellas, because if you're going to get sprayed, pepper sprayed or hit with something, an umbrella might help. The most obvious one you can see in the video is a pink one. The cop reached out and grabbed it, tried to pull it away from the guy. The guy pulled back, another cop stepped forward, maced him, and then it just erupted into chaos. Why did that cop grab the umbrella? Why? You should be standing there stone-faced, not moving a muscle. That's what they did at the White House with those rednecks and hicks.
Yeah.
They're like the freaking Queen's Guard.
So, okay, back to Trump in the White House lawn.
Oh, yeah.
He declares himself to be the law and order president and goes on to talk about having talked to all of the governors, telling them that they need to get things into line or he'll send the army in.
Yeah.
And not just get things in line, that all of the governors need to dominate the protests and dominate the streets. The word he used was dominate. And if they don't, then he will send the army in to dominate.
Yeah.
He then...
How many governors rolled their eyes?
How many Republican governors rolled their eyes at him over that? Let alone the Democrats.
Yeah.
And then he had the U.S. Army. Let's see, U.S. Army, the Secret Service, and National Park Police fire off tear gas, flashbangs, and a barrage of rubber bullets into the crowd that was peacefully protesting outside the White House to get the crowd to scatter so that Trump and his cronies could walk over to St. John's Church for a photo op where he's holding a Bible.
And he's not holding... The posture of the picture, the photo op, is very telling of of what he means. He's holding it up as in a very staunch, disciplined, domineering way. The Holy Bible to him is not something for comfort or peace. It is to be used to...
It's a weapon.
It would have been no different than if he was holding up a gun or...
A sword. The exact imagery is like in Braveheart, where Mel Gibson holds the sword up over his head. That's what Donald Trump was doing with a Bible.
Yeah.
Normally, if somebody's trying to do a photo op with a Bible, you know, you'd be holding it around waist level or over your heart.
Yeah, you want to give that, you know, smarmy, comforting, happy feeling. No, he's using it as a weapon. So that's another way that this affects many Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, oh man, the secular people are just going, really?
Yep.
Somebody pointed out, you know, if you go go bang a prostitute in a hotel room, you get a free Bible. It almost feels like that's... He's like, hey,
look
at my Bible. This legitimizes my actions just now.
So then, sticking with Washington, D.C. for now. After that, this morning, we're recording this on Wednesday, the Army pulled out of the troops back out, and Defense Secretary Esper said that this is, you know, using the Army to deal with protests and an uprising is a absolute last resort thing, and we haven't reached that point yet.
Not even close.
He then got called into the White House and then ordered the Army back into Washington, and buses and trucks full of soldiers moved back into the nation's capital, helicopters flying around to dominate.
So he sold out.
He's going to be fired by the end of the week, I'm sure.
I mean, if you say something like that and and Trump calls you in, you know you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So why give him anything? Why not just quit?
Because nobody with a backbone still works for Donald Trump.
It just blows my mind. And if you ask, there was a whole bunch of people, well, a whole bunch of governors, I think, were asked about what they thought about this.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney, a whole couple of Republicans. They're
not
all
Romney,
like,
senator, but yeah.
Senators. Okay. A lot of Congress people were asked, what do you think about this? And they're like, oh, I didn't see it. Sorry, I'm late for lunch. No comment. It's like, you guys, you spineless assholes.
Yeah.
People were having hopes with Romney. Romney was starting to look like maybe he would stand up against Trump on some things, and this was definitely one that he should have, and he didn't.
He's always looking like he might finally start standing up to Trump.
And then a part of me just remembers how incredibly racist Mormons are. They don't mean to be, but they are. And
yeah.
This is one that they're going to let Trump just walk all over with a Bible in his hand.
All right. So now let's get into the protests and off of Trump.
Right. Because it's not about him.
The peaceful protests have started in every major city across the United States. A lot of minor cities across the United States and across Canada, parts of Europe, Australia, New Zealand, probably more places.
Yeah.
Protesting police in America murdering black men.
Yep.
And
I wouldn't say we're the laughing stock. This is too serious to be called a laughing stock, but yeah.
We're not looking much better than Israel right now.
No, we really aren't. We're not looking much better than Nazis right now.
Yeah. Yeah. This is getting a little too close to Israel and Palestine with their apartheid and South Africa's apartheid and fucking Jim Crow.
Yeah.
So these protests all started out peaceful. And man, you look at the breadth of articles about when they turn into riots, and some, and I'm going to guess most of them are probably at least somewhat accurate. Getting started by white supremacists going in, anarchists, drug cartels, Antifa, the cops, and angry black people, and just angry douchebag white people.
So many douchebag white people. That's been Idaho's problem. Those two kids. I mean, these are teenagers. Two in Jerome. One here took a gun to a rally and went off on quote unquote accident.
And that guy here was the counter protest against the Black Lives Matter protests.
Right. So what happens if you have a peaceful protest and a bunch of people show up with guns, one of which actually goes off?
It's amazing the police didn't open fire.
Because he was white.
Yeah. He was arrested.
It didn't help that his friends all turned on him and told him what a fucking idiot he was and basically turned him over to the cops right away.
Salt Lake City, a white guy showed up to the protests with a bow and arrow. Drew the bow and was ready to fire at the crowd.
Just randomly.
Yep.
Just gonna hit somebody.
The crowd charged him. Two guys tackled him and beat the shit out of him while the rest of the crowd flipped his car and lit it on fire.
So, yeah. That is just an amazingly satisfying overreaction. But is it? Because this guy was going to hurt/kill yeah. somebody.
Good aim. He would have killed somebody. Most likely he would have just injured someone.
Yeah. And what did he think was going to happen?
Right. You go to a protest where people are protesting brutality and you threaten them with violence.
You're going to get brutal on your ass.
Yeah.
A lot of these riots it starts off as a defense mechanism, and it's usually not the protesters that are instigating. there's just more and more coming out with these weird white supremacist groups, young men, usually, who are being, you know, co-opted into trying to start shit.
Or who just are angry and want to start shit.
Yeah, those are the high school anarchists, or people who haven't really grown out of the anarchist phase yet, and just want to start shit. Those are the ones who are leaving bricks around town, hoping to start something, hoping to get somebody blamed for something. These are the kids that went to the protest last night and started chanting Donald Trump in the middle of the moment of silence. I mean, it's just how they're lucky they didn't get this shit beat out of them, too.
And in all practicality, the Minneapolis is where the rioting began. And if the reports are correct that it was a combination of white supremacists, anarchists, and drug cartels trying to push the city into chaos, then that set every cop around the country on edge. And we got to see their true colors.
Yeah. And some of them did great.
Yeah.
Some of them kneeled when the protesters showed up. Some of them rode with them on horseback. Freaking leave it up to Texas. All right. For the freaking cops to show up on horseback. Oh, God.
And then join in the march.
Yeah.
The sheriff over Flint, Michigan, walked up to the protest, and he and his officers joined in, and they joined into the march.
Yeah. And you know what you see when that happens? Hugging and crying.
Mm-hmm. Fort Worth, Texas, Oklahoma City, people joining the cops joining the protest rather than fighting.
Florida man actually made headlines in a good way.
Except for,
well,
Sheriff Grady, Grady Judd of Polk County, who...
Wait, his name's Grady Judd?
I might have that a little bit wrong, but not enough.
Because that sounds like classic bad guy...
Of Polk County.
Rural... Oh, my God.
He warned...
Burt Reynolds.
The protesters... He warned the protesters not to go out into neighborhoods, because everybody there is armed, because he's been encouraging everybody to have guns. And he's told them all to be on the ready and be on the lookout. Which, that's how joggers get shot.
Yeah, and that somebody has video of that happening. I don't know where, so I'm not even going to try to say. But basically, curfew hit. Cops went down with a tank, followed by actual cops in riot gear.
Yeah.
These guys were sitting out on the front porch, video recording the whole thing, and they started shooting.
Yep.
Because these people are sitting on their porch.
I think that was Louisville.
Thought it was past curfew. You should have been inside. It's like, no, I shouldn't have to go into...
Your porch is fine.
Lockdown because the freaking powers that be have gotten crazy.
Yeah.
Again, getting shot by a rubber bullet ain't fun. We've already had several, you know, a lot of people have gotten seriously injured. I don't know if anybody has died.
Yeah,
as a result of the protests, but there's been a lot of permanent injury.
The Louisville was where, I think it was Indianapolis was where the person on the porch got shot at for being out past
Louisville.
Curfew. Louisville was where you had National Guard and police lined up against protesters. Somebody fires a shot, so a bunch of cops and soldiers open fire and killed one of the protesters.
That's unforgivable.
Yeah. That's the point where if you're just opening fire on a crowd, that is not law enforcement. That is a military...
dictatorship?
That's urban warfare.
Yeah.
We really need cooler heads to prevail.
Yeah. And cooler heads are they're not.
Cooler heads are getting threatened by Donald Trump.
Yeah. They're going to lose their careers. They're going to lose their lives. They're going to lose their everything because they're not on Putin's payroll.
And okay, Vladimir Putin, we know, is cheering this whole thing on because
destabilized America. Yay!
One of the Russians' plans for how to destabilize America this year to make sure that Donald Trump gets reelected is a race war. Do whatever they can to increase tensions. We also know that white supremacist groups, who a surprising amount have ties to Russia,
yeah,
have been infiltrating police departments systematically for decades. Portland, Oregon, has had a serious problem with that, where basically the Portland KKK branch became just the police department, or at least a significant enough part of the police department.
Well, that's one thing that they can do after this is, you know, start filling their ranks with black people. Work for the Irish.
Yeah. Well, and there's the other thing is,
because what this all comes down to is basically it's a gang war.
Yeah.
Where the white police are one gang versus all the other gangs, and they both have guns and they're fighting each other, and it's just insane.
Well, the white cops in at least parts of the East are mostly Irish and Italian. They were the gangs,
yeah,
40 years ago.
So
now they're the cops.
How else to improve in relations than to affirmative action that shit?
Well, what happened about 40 years ago, or it was probably more 60 years ago, is Irish and Italian were finally considered to be white. Because the definition of white went beyond just white Protestant to just white. We need to drop that part and just have it be Americans.
Yeah.
We want Americans to be police officers.
And I really, what I would love to see is just a return of focus to non-lethal, what do you call that?
We're actually seeing that right now.
Right, with the rubber bullets instead of the real ones.
The tear gas, the rubber bullets, the bean bags, the tasers, that's all.
I'm talking about the stuff that Sweden does. Where they basically, a police officer is basically your therapist that shows up and talks you down.
Sweden and Britain and the rest of the civilized world where routine patrol cops don't have guns.
No, they don't need guns. Because if you have a gun, you become a target.
Well,
and the problem with black people, or actually most people of color in general, is that your skin is your gun. You are not considered unarmed if you're colored. That's just how our, unfortunately, our culture is just stuck in that.
Yeah.
Every black kid has a gun. Just assume and you'll be safe. No, you assume and you get people killed.
Yeah. You know, and this is one of the big issues is, we have a militarized society where a significant portion of the population, the counter-protesters specifically right now, have military-grade weapons. If the civilians have military-grade weapons, that means the criminals definitely have military-grade weapons, and the police need to be able to match that.
No, they need to be able to beat that.
Actually, you're right. Yeah. And we've been seeing a major ramp up arms race between what gangs can get, the gangs and cartels can get, and the police trying to keep up with that.
Which is why we're seeing tanks in the street for protests.
And as the police arm up, the criminals have to increase their armament. And when criminals increase their armament, rednecks have to increase theirs as well.
Yeah.
And then the police have to try to make sure they've got better weapons than everybody else. Until it looks a lot more like Baghdad here.
I don't know what Baghdad looks like anymore, but
actually, yeah, it's been, I don't know what would be right now. Okay, let's go with Syria now. Still in the middle of a civil war. You don't want it to look like we're in the middle of a civil war.
But aren't we? Just a little. I mean, feels like it. Not officially, but culturally, this is...
We're definitely in the middle of a lot of protests, and if...
And what's sad is that it's going to calm down and be forgotten again.
I don't think it will this time.
That's what they said about Trayvon Martin and Ferguson.
This time, it's not just Ferguson, Missouri that has buildings burning. It's every major city in the country has buildings burning.
Or cars
burning.
Salt Lake, looking at you.
If people forget, the riots will return. And it will stopping this will require major reforms.
And we're not going to see that with this administration.
Not with Trump threatening to send in the army.
Even before he even said anything like that, this is not an administration where you get reform.
No. Not, at least not good reform.
Not good reform. No. Nope, nope, nope.
Yeah, for one, a great first step.
So, by the way, not to insert my own political leanings here, but if you're not voting for Biden, oh my God.
Oh, actually, yeah, let's go there.
Get rid of Trump, please. He is going to kill us.
This is, if you think voting third party or not voting is a viable option, you're a fucking idiot.
And white.
Yeah. It is a binary choice. Mathematically, it will always be a binary choice. Winner takes all will always result in two viable candidates. If you vote for one, you help that one win. If you don't vote for that one, you help the other guy win. So any way of not voting for Biden helps Donald Trump. His path to victory is by getting more of his base to vote, but that's not enough. He needs to get as many left-leaning, or at least not batshit right-leaning people to not vote as he can.
Yeah.
So, and all you have to do is look at the public remarks Trump and Biden have made in response to this. Trump has threatened to deploy the fucking United States Army on U.S. cities to attack U.S. citizens who are engaged in peaceful protest. Joe Biden has called for calm, peace, and reform, and he's met with the family. Trump also talked to George Floyd's brother. But Trump talked to him and didn't give him a chance to get a word in edgewise. Joe Biden called and listened.
Anyway, enough of that political rambling.
No. I want to make sure this is incredibly clear. You have to vote for Joe Biden in November. That is the only action you can seriously take to make things even a little bit better, or at least to try to keep things from continuing to get worse. And with the what kind of reform do we need? We need police complaints against police to be handled independently, not by the local prosecutors who work hand in hand with the local police. We need police departments to purge their ranks of racist assholes. We need police departments to demilitarize. They need to go back to being law enforcement and not paramilitary organizations.
Yeah.
That means disbanding SWAT. That means giving back the tanks, getting rid of the assault rifles, and scaling way, way down. Now, if there...
The peacekeepers.
Yeah. Now, if there is serious reason to maintain some specialist units, have a couple specialist units at the state level. But keep it out of the local police. Because you don't need that. You don't need the city police to be able to bust up a drug ring.
Right. That's... We've all seen Law and Order. We've all seen how many levels it takes to get something like that done. It's not your local sheriff who's going to be doing that. And also, you need to recruit differently.
Yeah.
Way different. You need to be going to areas you've never gone to and using languages you've never used and getting people into your ranks that are from different backgrounds. Because that's the only way that you're going to get a diverse and culturally sensitive peacekeeping force.
Well, Ferguson, Missouri, at least in back in 2014, was a prime example of how bad it can be, where if I remember correctly, the police department was 70% white, while the community was 70% black. Completely flipped ratio. You should have the police demographics match the community.
And I'm not saying if you have two applications and one is white and one is black, you just go with the black one if everything else is equal. That's not what affirmative action is.
Right.
It's basically just changing your recruitment process so that you give other people a chance. Mm-hmm. Where before, they never had a chance.
Right. White people all know where to go to recruit white people.
Yeah, that's easy. Go to your local high school and set up a little booth. No colored kid is going to go up to a cop at the local high school and sign up, but white kids will. That's an easy way to do it. But if you go into their communities and you actually talk to people and do word of mouth, that will get you a lot further.
Yeah. All right. And the other thing is, we all need to realize and recognize our biases and our own racism.
It sucks that there is absolutely no way that we can avoid raising our child to not be racist.
Yeah.
She is in a whitesome, delightsome culture.
Uh-huh.
I think she's only actually interacted with a black child her age maybe twice. Because no black kids don't make it to the public library for story time.
Yeah.
She hasn't had that ability. So by the time she's 4 or 5, she's going to have an idea of what the other is. And it's going to look like the opposite of what her family looks like.
And
then, I can't do anything about it.
And then she'll go to kindergarten, where there'll probably be 10 different languages represented in her class.
Because we are a refugee city.
Yeah.
People tend to forget that.
Uh-huh.
Idaho's not racist. Well, just take a look at how we treated the refugees. It's not great.
And also, just take a look at the rural areas of the state and the northern part of the state.
Yeah. Ugh.
You know, we go...
Big problems up in... They thought that people of southern Idaho think that all the Aryan nations are gone, that they left. Guess what? They didn't leave, you guys.
Yeah.
They may have moved their headquarters or disbanded their chapter, but they're still living there. They're running for freaking senator and representative all the freaking time. I'm pretty sure Heather Scott is one. She acts like it.
Yeah, they tried moving their headquarters from Hayden Lake, Idaho, to Grants Pass, Oregon, where I was growing up at the time, where I grew up, and this was in the mid-90s, and the land they picked, it was outside of city limits, and Josephine County was able to find a loophole to keep them from buying the land, because the plot they were looking for was within 1,000 feet of a middle school, and there was a state law that allowed them to keep them out.
Nice.
Part of why they were wanting to do that was Grants Pass already had a KKK office downtown.
Yeah.
You didn't need the Aryan Nations too.
Yeah.
And these different white supremacist groups don't necessarily get along.
No, they don't necessarily, but they are willing to band together to defeat the common enemy.
Yeah. And it's... This is bad. If you're protesting, stay safe and wear a mask. If a cop pulls down your mask to pepper spray you,
kick him in the balls. No, I don't know if that works.
Call in a complaint to your state attorney general.
Use the pandemic as a weapon?
Yes.
All right. Do it.
Social distancing should be maintained as much as possible. Okay, you've seen the pictures from last night's protests in Boise. There was no way anybody could maintain social distancing with the, what, 2,000 or 3,000 people there.
Oh, it was packed.
Yeah.
And that was at that was at the protest before the vigil. The vigil, I mean, it's just there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Stay safe if you're not protesting. I understand why it's scary. And if you have kids, don't risk it. You mm-hmm. know, that kind of thing. But support those who are. And for God's sakes, read some history. If you don't know about the Tulsa race riots, you need to learn about it. Watch Watchmen, apparently. That's what opened a lot of people's eyes to.
New York City has a curfew, in effect. First time since 1943.
Oh, wow.
You want to guess why there was a curfew in 1943 in New York City?
Race riot?
Yep. A white police officer shot a black soldier, and it set off riots.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yep. Which the city responded to with curfews and...
So exactly what they're doing now.
Yep.
Hmm. They managed to get people to forget about it for another generation, so...
Trump's most famous tweet about all of this, the when the looting starts, the shooting starts.
Oh, Jesus. It
was a quote from the county sheriff for Miami County. I think it was actually Miami County at that point, not Miami-Dade County. In the 1960s, right before the Miami race riots began.
Yeah, it was totally the wrong thing to say. No,
he knew it. That was not an accident.
No, none of the nothing that he does is really an accident.
He is trying to rile up his base.
Yeah, he's,
and he knows that if
he's more likely to win if there are race riots going on during the election.
He also knows, just like Richard Nixon did, that if people who are likely to vote against you get charged with felonies, they can't vote.
Yeah. So if you think, you know,
the drug war we have today all started with Nixon trying to get it so that college students couldn't vote.
College students, and that's why we have a lot of colored people in prison for nonviolent crimes. It's just a way to keep people from voting. So people who can vote, you got to do your duty. Duty. I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah, so if we got details wrong, we got any of the language wrong, I'm sorry.
We're angry. I'm angry.
And...
But I suppose this was better than my idea. I just wanted, Apparently, Dustin missed Blackout Tuesday, hashtag Blackout Tuesday. So the concept of doing a blackout episode totally went over his head. I was like, well, yeah, you just go on. You say, you know, in solidarity with, you know, our, you know, people of color, we're not going to bitch and complain this week, and then have 5 minutes of silence.
Yeah, no.
Dustin's like, dead air hurts me. Okay, we'll talk about it instead.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll get back to normal programming next week.
Because there's a whole other group of people that are suffering that we need to talk about.
Yep. And this was live to tape.
Oh, okay, good for you.
So I'm making one edit, and that's it.
The Antifa one?
Yeah.
Yep. Write in with your opinion.
So, until next week, remember, not all those who wander are lost, but Black lives definitely do matter. Oh, and on that one, if anybody says all lives matter, or that Black lives matter is a racist thing to say, because of course everybody's life matters, there's You just need to point out that there's an implied two at the end of Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter two.
As in also?
As in also. As in, of course, all lives matter, but Black Lives Matter too, you fucking racist piece of shit. Yeah.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.